In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is the second Sunday of Great Lent. And it is on this Sunday that we keep the memory, every second Sunday of Lent, of St. Gregory Palamas. St. Gregory was a bishop in the 14th century. He is considered a father within the church because he is someone who defended the goodness of prayer at a time when prayer was under attack, believe it or not. You know, in our Orthodox spiritual tradition, we teach and believe that prayer is more than just words directed to God. We say that in prayer, we are united to God. Through prayer, especially prayer that involves silence or prayer that involves holy stillness, through prayer we can have direct experience of God's holy presence. In other words, through prayer, our knowledge of God, it grows. Through prayer, God himself reveals himself to us in a very special way. But back in the 1300s, which is kind of late for Orthodox, but finally somebody said it, the 1300s, there was someone who questioned this understanding of prayer, this ancient understanding of prayer. One such person was a theologian. His name was Barlaam. Barlaam criticized those who dared to believe that God could actually reveal himself through prayer. In fact, Barlaam says, God never really reveals himself. God is so holy, so transcendent, so unlike anything we could possibly ever imagine, no knowledge of God is ever really possible. The monks have it wrong, Barlaam said. Prayer cannot lead to knowledge because God is not present in the world in the way that you and I are present in the world. Because he is holy, God is set apart. We are here. God is somewhere else. Prayer is always in one direction. We send our hearts to God and God receives them, but he doesn't send anything back in the other direction. At least he does not send a part of himself directly back to us. So it was this Gregory Palamas who was called upon to respond to Barlaam. And against Barlaam, Gregory said, yes, God is holy. Yes, God is beyond our understanding. But it is still the case that our God is a loving God who is at work in the world. Our God, through his Son and his Spirit, continues to work hard for our salvation. And the activity of God in this world, his presence in this world, is revealed to us through prayer. The debate can be a little hard to follow. Barlaam and St. Gregory were really, really smart. They were really, really well-educated folks. The language of 14th century theology is a language that is difficult to learn to speak. But I would say that the truth defended by St. Gregory, his main point, can be very, very easily communicated. This is what I would say. This Barlaam, this opponent of St. Gregory, he was saying that our God is a white-collar God. That's what Barlaam is saying. Our God is a white-collar God. God's work is so important and beyond our understanding. He's like a corporate executive who sits in his office all day, behind closed doors, running the show and making sure that all the decisions are made to keep the business in business. God is a white-collar God who never gets down to the assembly line where all the workers are busy with their heavy lifting. God is management. And he manages from an office far above the factory floor. Against Barlaam, St. Gregory says, we do not understand God this way. Our God is not a white-collar God. Our God is a blue-collar God. He's deeply involved in the world. His hands are dirty from the ongoing work of preserving and saving and loving everything that he created. He does not run the show from the boardroom. God is not management. God is labor. God is not CEO. God is the foreman who labors alongside all of those involved in the heavy lifting that life requires. We are members of the same union. When we sit down at the negotiating table, when we bargain for wages and benefits, God sits with us. And this blue-collar God, a God who is at work in this world, is, of course, a God who makes himself known to us through his activity. He reveals himself in love to all who dare to call upon him in prayer and to call him Father. In fact, when we understand this, when we see that our God is a blue-collar God, we understand that prayer is not just possible, prayer is necessary. It's required. We pay our union dues through prayer. Prayer's work. It is through prayer that our own collars begin to turn from white to blue. Through prayer, we begin to work the factory floor right next to the God that leads us. And of course, if our God is a blue-collar God, then our faith most certainly is a blue-collar faith. Hear the gospel reading today. It is a gospel about effort. In faith, four friends took the roof off of a building so that they could take their suffering friend and lay him at the feet of the Savior. But it's two-way, right? Jesus does not love the man in the abstract in response. It's not white-collar love that Jesus shows. It's blue-collar love. Which is easier, he says, to merely say to the man, your sins are forgiven, or to say to him, rise and take up your pallet and walk? But so that we might know that he is God, Jesus heals the suffering friend. He gets the job done, his own hands. The emphasis, time and time again, is that faith requires effort. We hear it again next week, the Sunday of the cross. Believe it or not, next Sunday is the Sunday of the cross. We hear it again. If you would be my disciples, pick up your crosses and follow me. There is a great deal of heavy lifting to do, especially during Lent. Lent is that season for moving obstacles that stand between our hearts and our holy God. And goodness, think of what we're preparing for. Think of Holy Pascha itself, right? Pascha is all about heavy lifting. The icon of the feast. We don't have one that you can see from where you're sitting, but I think most of you know what it looks like. Think of the icon of the resurrection, the icon of Holy Pascha. It's an icon of Christ's descent into hell. We have our Lord in the center. On his right is Adam in a tomb. On his left is Eve in a tomb. And our Lord is exploding death through his own death. He uses death to turn death inside out and to unite all of those who have departed in faith and hope of the resurrection to his life. And he reaches down, and this is the icon, and he's pulling up Adam from the tomb and getting ready to turn around and pull up Eve as well. He's doing heavy lifting. The resurrection, we know, is not just an event located in some distant past. The heavy lifting of the dead from their tombs that we celebrate at Pascha, that is an ongoing reality. Jesus does not take a coffee break. There is no shift change when he has to eat. Jesus eats on the run. And that's because each of us is Adam. And each of us is Eve. And God, through his Son and his Holy Spirit, they are hard at work pulling the dead from their tombs. And like the four friends in today's gospel, we're called to lend a hand. Our blue-collar Savior invites us to join the union and to labor by his side. We are to go and to find the person who is suffering, at home or in the hospital. Because where we find suffering, we find our Lord. Go and find the young child who suffers from poverty and neglect and fear and abuse. God is with that child in his loneliness and anxiety. Go find the young woman who is told by her culture and who begins to believe that she is nothing more than an object to be consumed or traded. God is with her, desperately trying to communicate the real truth that she's a child of God, created in love. Or to summarize St. Gregory Palamas one more time, do you want to see God? Go and pray. In other words, go find a mirror, right? Go find a mirror and look at the face that stares back. Look at the person who has questions and doubts and fears, certainly has struggles. God is there too, right by your side, right by my side, offering his love, suffering with us, pulling us and this whole world from the tombs with his mighty hands of healing and comfort and strength. Amen.